see it in the movies, in the paper, and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it and Jesus spoke about it and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it and Jesus spoke about it and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to the Watching for Jesus Bible Study for tonight. My name is Thomas Gambell. I'm the host of this Bible study. And tonight we're going to, we got several points we're going to talk about tonight. Primarily the tribulation period. It's coming. It's coming. But then again, they said that in World War I, the war to end all wars. World War II, Hitler was Antichrist. Bismarck, World War I was Antichrist. And it depends what decade, what period of time. Satan's got one set up. Every generation, you notice that? Y'all notice that? Every generation has an Antichrist set up. Think about it. It was predicted by Daniel in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Every generation has had its Antichrist. You can name them. Ha! I bet you expect me to name them, right? I can try to name them. I got them written down here. I can't memorize everything. Some of the things I don't forget about this connecting the dots, but first, you got to know that there's dots to be connected. That's the biggest problem. If people understood this conspiracy that Satan has been allowed to perpetrate, then it starts sticking in the brain. people's minds will start connecting. Now, I'm reading on YouTube comments and Facebook comments. There's people out there, a lot, that are coming out of the woodwork that's understanding this. So you think if it's regular Joes out here understanding it, how come those at high level can't say, wait a minute, this is true. We're a part of this. The Antichrist, the New World Order, the traitors within our own government exist. When you see a list of the members of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderberg, all those ones we've talked about, the actual names would shock you as to who they really are. And the list is absolutely massive. Almost every famous person that you think's on your side is actually working for the Illuminati, pretending to be on our side. It's the rule, not the exception. Council of Foreign Relations, Council of National Policy. You think, wait a minute, I thought this is a Bible study. Why are we talking about New World Order again? Well, because that's how Satan is bringing together his New World Order. I mean, how these preachers think it's going to happen. Satan goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and et cetera, in the Bible. They're using as cliches, but they're not identifying exactly what they're talking about. They use Bible verses as cliches. Everybody says, oh, okay, and everybody pretends they understand it. And nobody's pinning anybody down. Who do you mean exactly? How does he go around like a roar? How exactly does he do it? So we can avoid it. So we can go against it. So we can pray against it. But they're not telling you. Why is that? People are afraid to ask. They're afraid to pinpoint. They're afraid to pin their preacher down. Make him work, man. Make him work. If you don't know, well, I don't know. It's very complicated. Well, find out then. And we want to know about it next Sunday. We expect it. Got that? Man, pin him down. He's responsible to teach you. I know people know me. They pin me down. And I would expect that. If I'm wrong, I expect someone to tell me so. Then we're coming to a point that we can see that this New World Order has taken effect. And the New World Order is part of the conspiracy of Satan to bring about that New World Order. Dream of Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel, it's all there. All there. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and I'll give you the names of the Antichrists and the ones that's trying to bring about the revival of the Roman Empire. I'll just give you the names. I got them. I wanted to know myself exactly. None of this ambiguous type teaching, but I want to know exactly, and I want to know the dates too. That's how I operate. We'll talk about the tribulations tonight and wherever else it takes us. Lord, thank you. Tonight we got Bible study. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity we have to come together, worship you and your word as it brings us together. We pray, Lord, today for Diana's daughter, that she comes through this birth. Father, pray for Sarah and her emergency situation. We pray, Father, for the 12 Marines the past 4 days that's died in Afghanistan, for their families, and Father, for those that's died on those helicopters that recently, and Lord, there's many more. Lord, we pray for a healing of this land. We know, Lord, the tribulations are coming. Father, thy will be done. You know more than what we know about when this is going to take place. Father, we know that we won't even know these events until they actually happen. And that's the way, Lord, we understand. I understand, Lord. I understand that that's how the prophecy is actually written. That you won't know until it actually starts happening. That no one can claim to be a prophet that's not. And through the confusion, it shows that they're not. Father, we call upon you to guide us tonight. And all through this week and next week, as we identify and open up the truth about how Satan is being able to operate. But Lord, most of all, most important of all, is that pathway to heaven through your Lord Jesus, through the Son Jesus Christ, to become born again. And Lord, to wake up these churches, Father, an outpouring of the Spirit. Father, we know you have it all in hand. And you lead us through it. We know, Lord, persecution's coming. Give us that grace, power, discernment, wisdom, courage to face what's to come. If, Father, it be in our generation. These things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You know, the first thing that people think when you say a prayer like that, forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. The first thing that comes to mind is, man, you owe me some money. We forgive those that owe us money. Money. No. In the kingdom of God, you don't have money. God don't have a Federal Reserve. He didn't have heavenly coins. Not even bitcoins. So, what it will be in the thousand years, the debt we're talking about is not money. It's doing good deeds with each other. And if I do a good deed, in the time that's coming in the thousand year. Remember, you won't have technology. There won't be technology. People aren't thinking about what's happening. What happens in the sixth seal when God brings a great earthquake, and even in the end, in the wrath of God, man, there's another earthquake. A massive one. Family, 100-pound hailstones is coming down. Don't you think that's a little bit overkill? Isn't God overkilling the situation with 100-pound hail? Can you ever hit a hailstone? Hailstorm? Imagine those little things about, we had hailstones today the size of a baseball. Wow, we're in the end times events. That is the most pathetic thing I've ever heard in my life. We're in the sixth seal. We're in the sixth trumpet because they got hailstones the size of baseballs. Yeah, right. Family, when it says 100 pounds, the Bible's not kidding around. It's not metaphor. It's real. Can you imagine a 100-pound hailstone? Tens of thousands coming down. I mean, really. Then you got an earthquake before that where the entire earth crust is going to, who knows what, shift. I mean, Mother Earth, she's going to be tripolar, bipolar, or whatever polar it is. Some kind of polar shift. God's going to cause it, not nature. God created nature. Hello. So why the overkill? I mean, doesn't God get enough out of the wrath? No. You know why? As in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end times. That's a clue. So what was the days of Noah? There were giants in those days. There'll be giants in these days. The giants are already here. The Metropolitans, they call them the giants in the caverns. Some people refer to it as Middle Earth or whatever. But they dramatized what Middle Earth is really about. These giants are living somewhat primitively. But notice that there's holes opening up throughout the world. Big old holes. And notice in Denver, Colorado, at the airport, there's really strange creatures crawling out of holes they've got on the murals painted. Oh, North Pole, South Pole. Holes in the ground. Family, when he gets past that, the sealed wrath of God, the wrath of Satan, that period, and goes into the period of abomination of desolation and total annihilation of mankind. The transhumanized, genetically produced giants, which they had in the days of Noah, are going to come out of those holes and the caverns to totally annihilate mankind. And those days will be shortened. Now you see why there's going to be 100-pound hailstones. Because these aren't normal human beings. Those locusts that's coming out of the bowels of the earth aren't normal locusts. They're supernatural. Demonic. Giants that are coming out that God will allow because he'll remove his church. Somewhere around this period, somewhere there. What does that mean? He removed the veil of protection. So those demons, those giants transhumanized, 200 million to be exact, will be coming out of the earth to come out and wipe out mankind just like they did in the days of the flood. And God brought down a whole lot of water. And the fallen angels had to watch their children, which... Don't misuse the word children here or misinterpret the word children as little. Cannibalistic giants. To kill each other and to die in the flood. The angels, fallen angels had to watch it. And boy, that ticked them off. Well, that's their problem. This is their revenge. And God allows it for those that reject Jesus Christ. He's there for your protection when you accept him. It balances out in God's divine judgment. That's the purpose of 100-pound hailstones, because there are going to be some really big guys then. And they're really mean, too. And they'll come out after the first trumpet. Because the church will be gone somewhere around then. And those left will undergo this unbelievable period of time on this earth. God tells us about what's going to what's going to happen, but doesn't say how or doesn't say when. You won't know, as I said before, until it actually takes place. Then you'll say, wow, we're in it. And by then, you might have to blink, you're gone. You say, well, how can that be? Well, here you go. Read about Enoch, Elijah, Jesus Christ, as he resurrected himself. See, Jesus Christ was resurrected, self-resurrected, and he ascended. The only God-man that ever ascended. We say, wait a minute now, hold on. How about Enoch? He went to heaven, he was taken up alive. Yeah. He was translated and he was taken. He didn't ascend. Ascend means you do it yourself. That's why they call the New Age fallen angels ascended masters, because they did it themselves. They ascended into the next evolutionary state of mankind, which is a lie. They didn't ascend anywhere. They're exiled, put in the second heaven. Only way they can get back from the second heaven to the first here on earth is by ritual, negative energy, death, destruction. Somehow or another opens up portals, allowing them to come through the black hole kind of thing. That's alchemy. I'm not going to go there right now. That's what that's all about. The tree of life, as they call it. The Kabbalah. Family, you know, everybody studies this stuff. I studied it to a point. I said, okay, that's enough. If you're not careful, you don't pray before you study this mess, you get caught up in the Book of Enoch, which is bogus. You get caught up in the earth magic, the fallen angels, aliens, all that stuff. You get caught up in it with a lot of oohs, ows, and wows. And if you're not careful, you'll forego the King James Bible, the really important book. Because you see, the bottom line is that these so-called Nephilim, aliens, Middle Earth, whatever Earth, family, all that's going to go away. It's not important. That's why the Book of Enoch, which was never written by Enoch, is not in the Bible, because it wasn't inspired by God. Neither was Book of Jasher, Book of Thomas, Book of Mary. Those are Gnostic books. Don't belong in the Bible. Same thing for the Apocrypha. That was snuck in there by two Masons, convinced the committee to put it in there in 1880. They said, what's this mess in here? He took it out. It was only the success that the Vatican had in trying to corrupt the King James Bible was toward the end in 1610, 1611, they two Jesuits infiltrated into the 47 translators, and they couldn't do anything else because of the approval process was so strict that all they succeeded in, the Vatican, was to get the Apocrypha placed in. But by 1880s, they said, man, this is out of here. It's not God-inspired. It's history. It's man-made. History connects the two, sure. But it don't need to be in the Bible. So they took it out, that mess, that garbage. It's all garbage. If it's not the King James Bible, the Word of God, it's garbage. For salvation. For real truth. Pure truth. And I'll say one more thing about it. And we'll move on to the tribulation. And that's that when you say, oh, I love the King James Bible, it's the best Bible there is. It's considered, this is real tricky. They are so tricky, man. They say, oh, that's your preference. Watch. You may have figured it out already. My preference. My preference, huh? Well, here's your preference definition when you talk in this regard. I prefer to drink water than drink water with poison in it. Take your pick. Is that a preference? You know that this glass of water has arsenic in it, and you know that this glass here doesn't. Now what's your preference? Well, that means, well, my preference is one without, but actually I like the taste of arsenic. I think I'll prefer this one. See, that's the difference. It's the same thing. Every other Bible is corrupted by design. It's poisoned. I mean every Bible. If there's 425 Bibles written, and if you want to include the King James, 426, 425, which is not an actual number, but an example, are poisoned deliberately to kill your soul. Literally, missing verses, missing words, words changed in order to corrupt, not to make it easier to read. Whatsoever is corrupted by design after the King James and the books before the King James. Literally poisoned. Origen was the first one, and Westcott and Hort, 1800s, was the second poisoners. Is there such a word as poisoners? Killers. Poisoners, oh lordy. So it's not a preference. It's not that I prefer the King James. Family, it's the only one. It's not a preference. And then you got, well, I got saved by the Bible, King James, NIV, save me. Really? What's being saved means? It means the Holy Spirit's inside you, right? The Holy Spirit lives within you when you're born again. So, if you're born again and you got saved because you had the NIV Bible, okay. Sure. But then once the Holy Spirit, that's God, reminds you that this Bible here is corrupted, you might have got saved by it because of something, you had it, you whatever, but you weren't saved by the Bible. Holy Spirit saved you. And the Holy Spirit's going to save is in you. If you're truly born again, this Bible you're in is missing verses. It's not of me. So when they say, I've been saved, I still use the NIV. I question them being saved because the Holy Spirit would not allow that to happen. See? Just saying the words doesn't get you saved. Not sinning anymore, or saying you're not going to sin anymore, that's lordship. That's another heresy that's taught by John MacArthur and a bunch of others. Isn't going to save you either. Works is not going to save you. Repentance, acknowledging the sin, asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart and take over. Believe in faith, and you shall be saved. Well, every generation, period of history, Satan has had an Antichrist. Notice that. 605 B.C., 539 B.C., countdown, of course, because it's before Christ. Countdown to 1 B.C., or 1 A.D., 33 A.D., or whatever. Was Cyrus the Great. Babylon. Oops, it wasn't that one. So then come when that didn't happen, Satan had Greece. That was 539. Babylon was the first. Nebuchadnezzar, head of gold, which kingdom came after. Chest and arms of silver was then Medo-Persia. That was Cyrus the Great. At 539 B.C. to 331 B.C. Whoop, wasn't him. And just like the prophecy said, the great kingdom of Greece came. The Antichrist was supposed to be Alexander the Great, led by a Macedonian, 331 B.C. to 168 B.C. Whoop, wasn't him. He was defeated by Rome at the Battle of Pydna, 168 B.C., 68 years before Christ. Then came the kingdom of Alexander, which fell after 144 years from his death under the iron monarchy of Rome. They went out to kill the Christians, anybody who worshipped this one called Jesus. Worship God, the real Christians. The Colosseums, the blood games. It worked in reverse, caused people to repent. Even Romans started repenting because they saw the martyrism of the Christians in the Colosseum. That's why they brought Constantine in. 325 AD over Maxentius. He won and we can't beat them and kill them, these pesky Christians. Then let's join them. Constantine, who was pagan anyway, said, I will be Christian. I'm Christian. they created this religion called Christianity. So they Christianized Christians under a pagan cover of Christianity. To then have lukewarm type teachings, it evolved later, and here you got Mary and the rosaries, and then the Bibles, you got the whole story there. So they stopped the killing for a while until the Spanish Inquisition. Council of Trent, Inquisition. They began the killing again. Creating religions along the way to control people. That's how Satan works. Y'all getting a picture here? In every generation, he doesn't know the day or the hour. So he's got an Antichrist all set up each generation. See how that works? Notice that, every generation. I mean, it's right there before you. Incredible how this is working. Jesus was crucified on a cross. Folded up, it makes a cube. That's another story. 31 AD, thereabouts, predicted that Jerusalem would be destroyed. Because they rejected him again, so it was destroyed 70 AD. Every stone was taken down so you could get the gold out of it, that's why. All through Antichrist, not a one. Came close, but no banana. Who's left to conquer the last Antichrist? Nobody. So it dissipates itself, it is divided. It don't exist anymore. It destroyed from the inside. Into 10 pagan type barbarians. I am Nani. The Brigidians. German, Swiss, French, Italian, Italy. English, Portuguese, Spanish. And then three other tribes of pagans, turned into pagans, was Ostrogoths, Hercules, and Vandals, became extinct. Some believe that they were absorbed in the others. Daniel chapter 7 talks about this, the 10 toes. All the barbarian tribes from Europe divided Rome. There was feet partly of iron and partly clay. No Antichrist yet. So now you need revival of the Holy Roman Empire. It's not Islam. Goodness gracious. The Jews aren't in control of this. That's nonsense. The Jews are trying to kill Jews? Man, people are full of baloney. The Christian identity better get your head out of your butt, guys. The Jews aren't in control. It's a Roman Empire. Italian. German. Middle Europe. Thereabouts. Revival of the Holy Roman Empire is now yet to happen. Some people call it the European Union. World War III is between Islam, descendants of Ishmael, and Zionism, Jews, descendants of Isaac and Jacob, to fight and kill each other, allowing the Roman Empire to be reborn, be revived. That's yet to happen. Now, remember I said there's an Antichrist every generation? Well, watch this. It's amazing how this works. Wow. How God's in control. Who was it? Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar. Scratch. Who's next? Cyrus the Great. Medo-Persia Empire. Scratch. Who's next? Alexander the Great. The Macedonian Kingdom of Greece. Scratch. And then come the Roman Empire. Destroyed itself. Scratch. So, a lot of scratching, a lot of itching, huh? So what's left? The revival of the Roman Empire. And guess who? Charlemagne. You got it, Scratch. And Charlemagne, family, are y'all sitting down? Charlemagne is in the bloodline of Queen Elizabeth II. Or should I say, Queen Elizabeth II and all the royalties between are in the bloodline of Charlemagne. Scratch, scratch. George Bush. Kerry. Clinton. Reagan. Nixon. This gets kind of sticky, isn't it? Stalin. Hitler. FDR. All of them are in the Charlemagne bloodline. All of them. How about that? King John is even in the Charlemagne bloodline. Genghis Khan, a little bit before thereabouts. Attila the Hun, bloodline of Ishmael. Charlemagne, the Merovingian bloodline and the Carolingian bloodline. After Charlemagne, Charles V of Spain. Scratch. Louis XIV, France, trying to revive the Holy Roman Empire, but it's not in God's time. Scratch. Napoleon, France, scratch him too. And then comes along Hitler, and scratch. 2,500 years of human history, predicted, attempted. An Antichrist, a plan for a new world order, each time, each period, each generation, Satan doesn't know when. But Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. He don't know how soon. He doesn't know which decade. He don't know which generation. But he's always got somebody ready to take that spot in his 7 years. You see, that proves he doesn't even know. Amazing how God works, isn't it? Years of human history declared before 600 years before the time of Christ by Daniel and a dream sent to Nebuchadnezzar by God. No human can predict 2,500 years in the future, much less next week. Or even tomorrow. I don't know about y'all, but I found that when I did this research in different places and things, and I put it together in the matrix and all this, I was befuddled, man. I said, this is amazing. Satan has always had somebody in line when Jesus came to explain away. And they get ready for a 7-year tribulation. Every single generation says they have Nebuchadnezzar. Satan does not know when. And he takes it back even to Nimrod. I didn't mention Nimrod. Nimrod was first. He crept to Nimrod about three generations after the flood. About two generations. So actually you could almost include Nimrod. Which wasn't in the dream because that was after. Oh, see? Otherwise, if Daniel had been before Nimrod, which of course isn't logical, but tell you back before Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, golly. He would be included in that list of potential antichrists. That's amazing what's going on today. And here we are. Still not one. And if it doesn't happen, this generation, for whatever reason, they'll come up with something to placate the world population till the next 100 years or whenever. Yeah, that's how it works. Satan doesn't know. Mankind doesn't know. Nobody knows until it happens. That's why these books are worthless. But the King James, in it tells you what's going to happen, but you'll know it when it does happen. That's how the King James works. Okay. Now, we talked about the natural disasters several times in my broadcasting and Bible studies. The sun will turn black and the moon will turn red and the great earthquakes will be common. Family, that's the sixth seal. And there isn't any four blood moons. Now, can they make something happen holographically, supernaturally? Sure. But there have been four blood moons since the dawn of time. If you think significant happened during those four blood moons was strictly either pre-planned by man, or because they knew the time of the eclipse, they had the almanac that they could predict movements of the stars. You see how it works? Star worship, occult, astrology, etc. Almanac. What do you think that's for? Yeah. Can they make something happen those days? Because they can plan ahead, sure. But here in the Bible, it talks about one blood moon, not four, one. And what they do to make up the three and four blood moons is they go back to the other prophets and say, well, there's a red moon, there's a blood moon, and they count them and say, there's a four. No, it's talking about that one in the sixth seal. They're trying to accumulate them, every which way. Behold, there was a great earthquake. He says also, the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. Moon became like blood. When Jesus died on the cross, the whole earth became dark at midday. And then when Egypt was judged, there was a blackness of night. It's consistent. When the Lord came down at Mount Sinai, the mountain was shrouded in black clouds. The prophets said darkness would occur at the beginning of the tribulation period. Remember that. The stars will fall out of the sky. The stars of heaven fell to the earth, Revelation 6:13. Now, the word star in the Greek is aster. It refers to luminous bodies in the sky other than the sun or the moon. So there are several different ways of looking at it. Maybe asteroids are thrown down upon the earth. They talk about that yet. And the stars of the second heaven being cast down, the fallen angels also cast down. But you know, there's a Star Wars, and their technology is trying to learn how to capture and manipulate, by technology, asteroids. Let me tell you about that. You got weather control. Now they're admitting it, actually. Weather control, tornadoes, hurricanes, volcanic explosion eruptions delivered by HAARP, the heat wave going inside the volcano, 115, 120 degrees, a change which changes the temperature to a certain degree, makes it hotter. This is because bringing heat into it, it's a little complicated. It bounces off the atmosphere, ionosphere, goes inside the volcano, and it creates a eruption. Earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, hurricanes, tornadoes, drought, heavy rain. Satan knows that Jesus Christ is coming back. He knows he has weapons. Weapons would be weather, would be asteroids, would be fire, would be certain earthquakes. So Satan figures by technology, he can create ways to control the weather. He can control the weapons of God. Hadron Collider, open up portals, all kinds of things. He's figuring technology can make a better human. Transhumanized. You got it now? He can do better with knowledge than God can supernaturally. So he'll control the natural disasters and weather, so God can't use it. Unbelievable. The arrogance of thinking you can beat the Savior, beat the Creator. Von Braun, a German scientist, had said that there'll be, the next threat would be asteroids, and the final threat will be extraterrestrials. Other disasters would be the mountains and the islands will move. Every mountain and island was moved out of its place. Revelation 6:14. The asteroids hit the earth. The possibility is that the earth crust will be so disturbed by the impact that great segments of it will actually begin to slide the earth's mantle. Family, if you're born again, somebody tell me one day or send me an email with an answer to the question, why would God bring judgment upon those he went through the judgment, went through the tribulations of being persecuted, and then had to experience also the wrath of God upon his own church? Now, what kind of sense does that make? Sure blows out that post-tribulation rapture, don't it? Oops. Mankind's not going to go through the judgment of God upon his church. He's going to pull his church out somewhere along the way before the wrath of God comes down. He's not going to have you born again and say, well, you're born again, but I'm going to judge you anyway. That doesn't even make sense. Then you have a judgment seat of Christ where you're rewarded. The celebration, judgment seat of the Lamb. Marriage supper of the Lamb. And then you come back with a supernatural body to rule with Jesus Christ from 1,000 years on after Armageddon. To replenish the human race after all this, seals, trumpets, and bowls. Yeah, replenish the human race. Mortals will be here. You see, that's why I want you humble. That's why those who've had birth defects and they've died, or they've had some physical ailments here in the earth and they die early, family, he's going to use them in the millennial kingdom as whole. The ocean will become his blood. Revelation 8, verses 8 to 9. Explains a great mountain burned with fire. It will be cast into the sea. One third of the sea will become blood. Then one third of all sea life will die. I would imagine food will be real scarce about this time. There will also be destruction of one third of all the ships. The far-reaching implications of this on these judgments or beyond our understanding entirely. Some theologians have reasoned that the oceans occupy about 3/4 of the earth's surface, and so the extent of this judgment will be absolutely staggering. The pollution of the water and dead of so many sea creatures will vastly affect the balance of life in the ocean, to say the least. It'll happen to one third of the saltwater bodies of the world. Then the water will become poisoned, as you can only imagine. Freshwater supplies will also be affected later. They'll be bitter, with the result that many people will die. I imagine from the rotten fish and all this, it sounds negative, don't it? But it's real. This is judgment upon an earth that's not repentant. Instrument of judgment will be a great star that's labeled Wormwood. Did they not name Chernobyl after Wormwood? Yeah, that's on purpose, to make it look like, well, Wormwood's already happened. That was Chernobyl. No, it wasn't. Oh, hello. It wasn't. Yeah, that startled me. That literal star or meteor God's going to send wormwood later in the Great Tribulation, His judgment. That's going to be something. A literal star, a meteor, hurtling through space will approach the earth. Sweeping along the surface of the earth, it will turn one-third of the water into the earth, deadly poison liquid. Then it will affect the rivers and springs and wells. There's discussions among theologians that will people be saved during the tribulation? That's debated back and forth. There'll be a great harvest of souls for Christ during the tribulation before. Souls on the altar, fifth seal. And this harvest of souls, we would probably see fulfill the prophecy contained in Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end shall come. Then the second coming of Christ. So people from every nation, tribe, and language will be part of this great redeemed multitude. However, it's going to be a time of great suffering and persecution, way more than Rome had ever experienced. A time when the greatest wave of genuine conversion ever takes place, and that's what it takes, doesn't it? Tribulations, pain, fear. We used to say in the Marine Corps, we'd say, man, there's no atheist in the foxhole. The multitude of redeemed ones will come out from those who are still unsaved at the time of the rapture. It'll be a great number that's saved during this tribulation period, up to a point. Saved by faith, the life, death, justifying resurrection, Son of God. The condition of the gospel going to the whole world is a condition not of the rapture, or just not doing sin, but the second coming of Christ, who will be our judge. But you got to do it before. You got to accept Him as your Savior before death or before the judgment begins. Many will be killed during this time, preaching the gospel. And many will be taken to heaven, only to return. Don't wait for that time to get here. Don't say, like in the 10 virgins, 5 had had their lamps trimmed and fuel in them. The others didn't. Don't get caught asleep, because it'll happen in a time you won't know. Because nobody knows. Well, in the first half of the tribulation, and I'm going to conclude here, the Antichrist, the false prophet, is going to go forth to conquer, but in a way will bring peace. No war. War will have already happened before the first seal of some chaotic event worldwide in nature, in scope, to bring the world to a congruence of a one world order. What we talked about today in the broadcast, it has to be some chaotic event worldwide to cause people to come together. No open warfare is mentioned in this time. He does wear a crown, which is a sign of a victory. Could be this refers to his conquering the 3 kings and subduing 7 others and forming a Western Federation of Nations, the restored Roman Empire. Not Mecca, not Islam, Mahdi, and all this and all that. Nope. Restored Roman Empire. 7, Daniel 7:8 and Daniel 20-24. Then, when this is peace and prosperity period, The second seal is the opening of the seal as a total open warfare breaks out on the earth. Matthew 24, 6 and 7. The great sword given to the rider on a red horse speaks of unprecedented kind of conflict all over the world. That would be the Third World War, the real one. Islam versus Zionism. The rider on the black horse represents worldwide famine in the third seal. Not money, not a crash, economic crash, no, famine. The scales in the hand is used for weighing food. The scarcity of food is evidenced by the high prices for grain. And you know that famine is usually a result of war. Since the wars are great, so will the famine be. And it'll be places where famine is not usually found. The fourth seal brings incredible destruction to the world's population. And all this takes place in the first 3.5 years. 1,260 days. 1/4 will perish in this judgment of the fourth seal. Man will be killed with sword and famine and pestilence. And the wild beasts of the earth, they're going to get hungry. 4 severe judgments, Ezekiel 14:21. The number of death will be staggering. And during this famine, pestilence, and war, Seal 5 is different from all the others. It focuses on the death of believers during these days. They would be toward the end of the 3.5 years. Heading toward the abomination of desolation. The believers would be martyred because of their loyalty to the Lord and His Word. Because by then, people would divide themselves into hating God and loving God. A lot of people come to faith, though, in Christ during these first years of tribulation. Probably few will make it through alive. Seal 6. Broken somewhere near the middle of the tribulation. Matter of fact, it could actually introduce the first or the final 3.5 years. The Great Tribulation is what it's called. God's wrath. And this sixth seal hadn't happened yet, no way possible. It brings amazing and powerful upheavals on the earth and the heavens. Even before the Old Testament period it does in the sixth bowl. A great earthquake, the first one, convulses the crust of the earth, and plates will be moved. Then a great cosmic disturbances. There's the sun, moon, and stars. And man will cry out to hide them from the wrath of God. So if they're still here, they got a hard way to go. Like the birth pangs of a woman when she's giving birth to a baby. Family were there. That was fast time tonight. Goodness. And we ended with the seals. And a little commentary before about the Antichrist. What to watch out for. Some of the events that's going to take place. And there you go. Before I close, I want to remind you that we're played up in, well, I'm played up in I'm being played, family. Played up in highpointradio.net by John Kirkler, and he graciously plays my broadcast and Bible studies on his network randomly in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. He has sponsors up there in those three states, and he does require to pay the bills because he's got towers, electricity, and all that. And so if you live in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, check his website to find out, you know, if you're near any of those towns, and maybe use their services if at all possible. Or donate to him if need be and what you can do. John Kirkler, highpointradio.net. My website, goodness gracious. My website is watchmanforjesus.com. My Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. I put up recently a mime. I never can get that right. Doggone it. Anyway, a presentation on my Facebook about what Jesus Christ went through. And it tells you exactly what he went through when he was crucified on the cross. It's probably a little early because Easter is coming up. But, you know, Easter is pagan anyway, right? King James Bible confirms it. Easter is pagan. Acts 12, 3 and 4 confirms it. Easter being mentioned in the King James Bible is mentioned as a pagan holiday. People don't realize that. The other Bible says Passover. They changed the word from Easter to Passover. So that means Passover happened twice. Hey, that's not true. Passover didn't happen when King Herod was going to kill Peter. It didn't happen twice. Passover, then Easter. Easter is pagan. How come people can't pick that up? Because they got their own Bibles, that's why. And the preachers don't cover it. Wow. That's amazing. Anyway. So I'm going to close in prayer. And then tomorrow, 4 to 6, I got details. Exactly the milestones and details of the North American Union and when they set up the chronological history of it. I'll talk about that tomorrow. Quite interesting. And actually, what I know about it goes back further than some of the other references I found and set up. It traces back way past, way before a lot of the mainstream researchers talk about. North American Union goes way back to 1943, not the year 2000, like some people think. Anyway, let's close in prayer. And I appreciate y'all coming by tonight. Lord, thank you tonight. Father, we're able to come together tonight in your Bible study. Father, to guide us and keep guiding us, Lord, to point in your direction, Lord, that we can help others through the Holy Spirit to give the right words and the right divine appointments, Lord, and we'll be able to speak to others to witness about the love of Jesus. Lord, that we don't need a theological degree, that the Holy Spirit is our degree. And Father, any convictions you give us to lead us on the right path that we fall away, or any infirmities to humble us, thank you. Father, we pray for many more to come up, and Lord, to give us insight to the wisdom to be able to expose the evil, expose the corruption, to be able to witness to others on how to lead others to Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for wisdom discernment for the end times events. The Father will be made worthy to stand before you, stand in front of you, Father, for what we've done, and stand before others that when the time comes to witness, perform a mission you give us. These things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, family, thank you all for coming by. And, well, we'll be back tomorrow. I'll be back tomorrow, 4 o'clock to 6. Today was the 12th of March, 2015, to get on record. And I'll have both the broadcast and Bible studies put up before the night's up. And so I appreciate you coming by, and we'll see you all tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Have a great night. God bless you all. This is your Watchman. I'm signing off. Good night.
And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Vincent. I am with you every day.